Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, wishing all of you a happy 4th of July weekend. As we celebrate our nation's independence, the U.S. Senate has postponed voting on the Republican health care measure until after the holiday weekend. Hear why major doctor organizations, hospitals, the AARP, and advocates for the disabled are opposing the measure, saying it threatens the lives and well-being of millions of Americans. We'll have details on our Capitol report. And then on Crime Beat, hear why a lawyer who helped write La Mesa's medical marijuana dispensary law is now under arrest, along with her client who helped draft the state's marijuana regulatory framework. From Ocotillo Wells, learn why a memorial for a Vietnam soldier killed in action is causing controversy more than half a century later. Then on Green Scene, we'll have news about a bill by State Senator Ben Hueso to help protect the Tijuana River Valley from pollution by Mexican sewage. Plus, hear about a new warning from the state of California about a cancer-causing ingredient in the popular weed killer Roundup made by Monsanto. On Destination East County, hear about all the most fun festivals and events coming up, including fireworks, festivals, and parades this 4th of July weekend, and the return of some cherished Independence Day celebrations in East County that were canceled in recent years. From Ramona, hear how a water truck driver wound up out on a limb, literally after his vehicle rolled over the side of a steep drop-off. On the second half of our show today, we'll be re-airing our annual 4th of July special, our interviews with the founding fathers and mothers to get their take on modern issues. Of course, we couldn't really bring them back to life, but we have brought you their views in their very own words. We first recorded this special when our show launched on the 4th of July back in 2013, and the messages are still just as relevant today. Then on Vines and Wines, hear about the winners in this year's Toast of the Coast competition, which you can sample at the county fair. Now, if you're tuned in on Friday before the 4th of July, listen up for news about investigative reporter Greg Pallast, who has been investigating voting theft. He'll be speaking on Saving Our Democracy Friday night to benefit KNSJ, and you can get tickets at knsj.org. That's Friday night, June 30th. Now, if you're listening to this on Saturday or Monday, the event will be over, but you can still donate to benefit independent radio for our community at knsj.org, your network for social justice. Our show will be repeating Saturday morning and Monday while our staff enjoys some time off with our families this holiday weekend. So stay tuned for these stories on the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital. The U.S. Senate has postponed its vote on repealing the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, and replacing it with a Republican alternative until after the 4th of July. All of the Democrats strongly oppose the measure, and now 9 Republicans say that they cannot support the bill in its current form. The Republicans can only afford to lose 2 of their members to pass the bill. President Donald Trump, during his campaign, promised to repeal Obamacare and replace it with something better, claiming his plan would be great. This measure would fulfill the first part of that pledge, eliminating all Obamacare benefits, but the replacement would cause harm to most Americans and is opposed by the nation's largest organizations of doctors, nurses, and hospitals, as well as advocacy groups for patients, senior citizens, and the disabled. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office report just came out. It estimates that 22 million Americans will lose health care completely if the Senate Republicans' plan becomes law. The measure makes even deeper cuts to Medicare and Medicaid than the House version, a problem that is deeply concerning in California, where 1/3 of our state's residents rely on these programs. Even those with private insurance could be harmed. Insurance companies could charge older Americans up to 5 times more for health insurance than young people would pay under this plan. States could also seek waivers to avoid basic health care requirements, such as requiring coverage for pregnancy and pre-existing conditions. The measure also provides huge tax cuts for wealthy Americans, paid for on the backs of the vast majority of the American people who would be paying more for skimpier coverage if they can afford health insurance at all. The bill, not surprisingly, has sparked protests across the country and in our nation's capital. Disabled protesters, some in wheelchairs, were removed by Capitol Police after their legislators refused to meet with them. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell also refused to meet with representatives of organizations representing sick and disabled individuals, including the March of Dimes, which helped him as a child to overcome the debilitating effects of polio. Legislators are likely to face additional pressure from constituents as they return to their districts for 4th of July festivities before returning to Washington, D.C. to vote on the Republicans' health care bill. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
Jessica McElfresh is the attorney who co-authored Measure U, the ballot measure approved by La Mesa voters to allow medical marijuana dispensaries to operate legally in the city. Now, she's facing felony charges of conspiring to use flammable and toxic chemicals to extract hash oil from marijuana and sell it out of state. She is also accused of misleading investigators, helping her client hide illegal operations, and destroying evidence. The criminal complaint charges McElfresh, her client James Sladek, and four of his employees at MedWest Distribution in San Diego with manufacturing a controlled substance, conspiracy, and money laundering of $3.2 million. All have pled not guilty. Sladek has been a major player behind legalization of marijuana in California, so his arrest has sent shockwaves through the cannabis community. In an unusual move, a judge voided attorney-client privilege in some records in the case after finding that an email suggested McElfresh knew about her client's criminal actions and tried to hide them. After an April 2015 visit to the dispensary, which also produced paper products, she wrote, "We did a really, really good job of giving them plausible deniability, and it was clear to them that it wasn't a dispensary. But I think they suspect it was something else more than paper." Prosecutors also allege that McElfresh destroyed evidence on an iPad found submerged in water during a search, circumstances that Deputy District Attorney Jorge Del Portillo called quite suspicious during the arraignment, the San Diego Union-Tribune reported on June 16th. The defense has claimed the iPad belonged to McElfresh's mother, who planned to discard it and destroyed it to protect her personal data. But an article in Leafly contends that the MedWest business may have been targeted unfairly. District Attorney Bonnie Dumanis' office seized assets during a January 2016 raid at MedWest, including $324,000 in cash from a safe and $100,000 from personal bank accounts belonging to Sladek, his wife, and stepdaughters. 16 months after the raid, no charges had been filed. A judge ordered the DA's office to return the $100,000 from the family's personal bank accounts and said, "There is no indication that criminal charges are going to be filed in this case in the near future." 2 weeks later, the felony charges were filed, charges that could land the defendants in prison for up to 15 years if they are convicted. Sladek calls the charges vindictive prosecution. McElfresh, his attorney, vowed to fight the charges. MedWest, meanwhile, has been forced to shut down and sell part of its building while the battle continues over whether or not seizure of the $324,000 from the business safe was legal. Disturbing to the burgeoning dispensary business in California, where voters statewide have legalized both medical and recreational marijuana, is that Sladek has been a leader in the legal cannabis industry. A founding member of the National Cannabis Industry Association, he co-authored California State Cannabis Law. Moreover, he claims to have operated his business 100% legit, including paying taxes and providing employees with good wages and benefits. The raid took place before Prop 64, which legalized recreational pot in California. The defendants contend that the prior statute governing chemical extraction was vague and that courts had specified only butane as a banned compound. Nicholas Moore, a cannabis lawyer in San Diego, told Leafly that in California, even if you're following all appropriate laws and rules and you're properly permitted, there's still a risk this can happen to you. All of this comes against a backdrop of the federal government weighing a crackdown on marijuana, even in states that have legalized it. In May, Attorney General Jeff Sessions sent a letter to congressional leaders asking Congress to not renew an amendment that bans the Justice Department from prosecuting medical marijuana cases in states that have legalized use of medical marijuana, Newsweek reports. He also asked federal prosecutors to seek maximum sentences for drug offenders, even low-level ones. It is not yet known if Congress will grant Sessions permissions to prosecute medical marijuana users, growers, or sellers in states that have legalized these practices or not. But it's clear that despite steps by California and cities such as La Mesa to legalize and regulate the marijuana industry, operating a cannabis enterprise is still a risky business. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
Jim Bruce Robinson was killed in action during the Vietnam War. He was 21 years old. A memorial plaque and towering cross were erected in his memory in Ocotillo Wells, across the street from the home where his family still lives. But now, due to a single complaint from a person who has chosen to remain anonymous, the County of San Diego is planning to remove the cross, which is located on land owned by the county airport in Ocotillo Wells. A citizens group has launched a petition seeking to save the cross and has amassed thousands of signatures in its first week. Efforts to save the cross are spearheaded by Sherry Kukla, publisher of the SNS Off-Road magazine and an Ocotillo Wells resident. The petition at standunited.org states, "The memorial cross has been a source of comfort to other family members who have lost loved ones in the desert. A navigational beacon for families recreating in the desert who need a point of reference for meeting up or figuring out where they are in the remote desert. The memorial cross has been enjoyed by hundreds of thousands over the last 51 years. But federal courts have ruled that a cross on public lands constitutes establishment of a religion, which violates the U.S. Constitution. A similar case of the cross atop Mount Helix went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. That situation was resolved when a government entity transferred ownership of land underneath the cross to a private foundation, which has since maintained the site. The San Diego Union-Tribune reports that county spokesman Alex Bell indicated the county did ask the Federal Aviation Administration for permission to sell the land under the cross, but the FAA refused. The county is now working with community members seeking a new location for the monument or alternately to modify it, such as removing the cross and replacing it with a flag. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Rebecca Williamson.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is John Fistier with a Green Scene Report. State Senator Ben Hueso, a San Diego Democrat, has introduced Senate Bill 507 to help protect the Tijuana River Valley in the wake of repeated severe sewage spills from Mexico, including a spill in February that dumped an estimated 28 to 100 million gallons of raw sewage into the valley. The bill does not create a new fund, but instead would allow money already allocated to the County of San Diego for land acquisition to be used to protect and restore lands it already owns in the Tijuana River Valley. The money is from a $2.1 million settlement for lands seized through eminent domain by the federal government. Hueso says the Tijuana River Valley is an environmental jewel with a natural floodplain, wetland, and riparian areas. But the pollution from Mexico has become so severe that its forced closure of San Diego beaches and a sulfuric stench has wafted miles away. Hueso's legislation would amend the Budget Act to allow part of the settlement money to be spent on development, rehabilitation, protection, and restoration of the Tijuana River Valley, including studies of natural lands and parks, according to an analysis by the State Senate Natural Resources and Water Committee. The measure passed the committee unanimously including yes votes by San Diego Senators Tony Atkins and Ben Hueso. It now goes to the Appropriations Committee for consideration. San Diego's federal legislators have also sought to get help to clean up and prevent Mexican sewage spills in the valley. Congressman Juan Vargas and Duncan Hunter have sent letters to key federal officials on the matter. Congressman Hunter cited concerns over health risks to Navy SEALs who train in the Tijuana River Valley and asked the State Department and the Environmental Protection Agency to take action. The latter is ironic, since Hunter earlier voted for a bill that would have eliminated the Environmental Protection Agency that he now seeks help from for a serious environmental problem in his region.
The main ingredient in the most commonly used weed killer in the world, Roundup, has been declared a carcinogen by the state of California. On Monday, the Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment said glyphosate will be added to the state's list of cancer-causing chemicals on July 7th, a week from Friday. The move comes after a 2015 ruling by the International Agency for Research on Cancer, which is part of the World Health Organization, that said it is probably carcinogenic. Bill Alio with the nonprofit Environmental Working Group in California says Roundup is used in homes, on roadsides, and on farms just about everywhere.
Glyphosate is so commonly used, it's showing up in women's breast milk and all over the world in animals. So it's high time that people be warned about this chemical, and this is a good step towards letting people know, proceed with caution when you're using Roundup.
Alio advises avoiding it altogether for home use. The maker, Monsanto, tried and failed to block the listing in the courts, arguing that its studies show the weed killer is safe when used as directed. The company is appealing the ruling. California's Proposition 65, passed in 1986, requires that chemicals on the state list of carcinogens carry warning labels either on the product or at the point of sale. Randy Jurado Ertil of the California Latino Environmental Advocacy Network praises the move but worries about the health of the farm workers who apply the herbicide and the rural communities upwind of the fields.
It's usually the low-income minority communities, especially working-class Latino communities, that bear the brunt of pesticide contamination. It's usually poor farm workers that have to breathe in or use pollutants.
It is extremely rare for chemicals to be banned outright. But in the past, the state has placed limits on the amount and timing of spraying for chemicals it deems to be dangerous. For Public News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Rebecca Williamson
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week. This week's Destination East County includes 4th of July fireworks, parades, and picnics.
Plus, we'll have a preview of coming attractions, including Descanso Days, the Pine Valley Parade, Astronomy on Mount Helix, music superstars Lionel Richie and Mariah Carey coming to San Diego State, and a murder mystery dinner theater in Julian's historic town hall.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
After several years on hiatus, the beloved San Diego Lake Murray Music Fest and Fireworks Show is coming back on July 4th from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. with the fireworks show at 9 p.m. The Music Fest is held at Lake Murray Community Park in San Carlos. The Day of Fun includes food vendors, fun, bands, and fireworks. Bands range from a Beatles tribute to classic rock. The fireworks can be seen throughout the Navajo community, from La Mesa to Del Cerro and beyond. Food will be provided by the Kiwanis, Admiral's Restaurant with Jeff Cole, Rita's Italian Ice, Bullseye Kettle Corn, Windmill Farms, Los Primos, and Inferno Wood-Fired Kitchen. Get full details and full schedule of bands at lakemurrayfireworks.org.
Julian proudly proclaims its annual 4th of July parade to be the best small-town parade in America. The parade starts with the firing of a cannon and also includes earlier flyovers by vintage aircraft, a gunfight and bank robbery staged by the Julian Doves and Desperados from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, as well as an unfurling of a giant flag. The parade itself starts at noon and includes equestrians, marching bands, bagpipers, floats, and more. Plus, there's a barbecue and dance at the American Legion, as well as drawings for vintage airplane rides, sky sailing, and a handmade quilt displayed at Julian's Town Hall. Main Street closes at 9 a.m., so arrive early to enjoy this patriotic event in historic Julian. For full details, visit julianparade.com.
The city of El Cajon invites you to celebrate Independence Day with numerous games, live musical entertainment, and fireworks at the city of El Cajon's 4th of July celebration. On July 4th, the El Cajon Recreational Department will host the event at Kennedy Park on East Madison in El Cajon. From 1 p.m. to 8 p.m., you can enjoy carnival games, an inflatable, a kiddie train, and a skate park. Free crafts and family games will be available from 2 to 6 p.m., with music by two live bands from 3 to 9 p.m. A fireworks show with synchronized music at 9 p.m. will provide a finale to the celebration of our nation's birthday.
Alpine will celebrate Independence Day with a 4th of July parade starting at 10 a.m. along Alpine Boulevard between West Victoria Boulevard and Tavern Road, bringing back a tradition that's been dormant for years. Everyone is invited to participate or come watch. The parade's grand marshals will be Bill Ridenour and Fred Higginbotham, both local World War II veterans now in their 90s, who have been instrumental in adding many names of local veterans to Alpine's Wall of Honor. The parade route ends at the Alpine Community Center, where a carnival will include a petting zoo, bounce house, dunk tank, games, and children's activities. There will also be a Wild West show, live band, barbecue, and beer garden. For details, visit alpinekiwanis.org.
The city of Santee invites you to celebrate Independence Day at Santee Salutes, held on July 4th from 2:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Town Center Community Park East. Visitors can rock out with live music, see a patriotic ceremony, enjoy a kids' fun zone, and a spectacular fireworks display at 9 p.m. For details, visit the city of Santee's webpage and click the events calendar.
Red, White, and Moo will be the theme of this year's Descanso Days Parade and Fair on July 8th. Parade entries will be judged on the best of theme, most creative, and judge's choice. The parade starts on Viejas Grade and ends at the elementary school. The festival will be held at the Descanso Town Hall. Be sure to arrive early since roads close for the parade starting at 9 a.m. For more information, visit descansotownhall.org.
The Deerhorn Valley Independence Day Parade and Picnic returns this July 4th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Spectators are encouraged to bring flags, drums, rattles, shakers, and lawn chairs to enjoy the festivities. Community members are invited to march in the parade, including wagons, bikes, trucks, horses, goats, and emus. If it moves, it can march, the flyer proclaims. The parade stages at McNeil's Field in Lower Elena and Deerhorn Valley Road at 9 a.m. At 10 a.m., the parade rolls out, led by Deerhorn Valley's mounted flag bearers. The parade ends at the McKinley Field picnic area, where a meal ticket includes hot dogs, watermelon, water, and chips until supplies run out. Popcorn and cotton candy are also available for sale. You can also enjoy local vendors and crafters, plus a potluck-style dessert and goodies table.
Now for a preview of coming attractions.
Mount Helix Park is partnering with the San Diego Astronomy Association to host Astronomy Night atop Mount Helix on Saturday, July 15th from 8:30 to 10:30 p.m. Bring your own telescope or witness the cosmos through one provided by members of the SDAA, who will be on site to help you interpret the night sky. Feel free to bring a picnic dinner and enjoy a spectacular sunset prior to stargazing.
Music superstars Lionel Richie and Mariah Carey will rock the night at the Viejas Arena at San Diego State University on July 27th at 7 p.m. as part of their All the Hits tour. Richie has won an Oscar, 4 Grammy Awards, and 16 American Music Association Awards, among many other honors. He defied his parents and joined a band to escape Alabama and become one of Motown's biggest success stories. Mariah Carey is the best-selling female artist of all time, with more than 200 million albums sold to date and 18 Billboard No. 1 singles, the most of any solo artist in history. Her distinct 5-octave vocal range, songwriting, and producing talent, Carrie has won 5 Grammy Awards, 9 American Music Awards, Billboard's Artist of the Decade Award, and the World Music Award for World's Best Selling Female Artist of the Millennium. Tickets are available at the Viejas Arena website.
The Julian Triangle Club invites you to help solve a hilarious crime at a murder mystery theater set for Friday night, July 28th from 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the historic Julian Town Hall. Dinner will be catered by Jeremy's on the Hill. A well-seasoned county fair opens under a cloud as a real estate tycoon plots to buy it out and close it down. This riles the locals who love the fair, especially the pig races, which are being targeted by protesters. Add in female country singers, who will stop at nothing to claw past each other to get to the top, plus some romancing, and you have the stage set for shenanigans and murder. The table that gives the best correct answer of whodunit before the killer is revealed will walk away with a stellar prize basket. For tickets or details, contact the Julian Triangle Club at 760-525-5137 or email juliantriangleclub@gmail.com. You can also learn more at julianca.com.
Pine Valley Days takes place July 28th and 29th. This annual tradition begins on Friday, July 28th, with a deep pit barbecue and live music by Barbed Wire. Then, on Saturday, July 29th, the Pine Valley Days parade rolls through town, followed by a day of fun festivities in the Pine Valley Park, including kids' activities, arts and crafts, vendors, live music, food, and a horseshoe tournament. For details, check the Pine Valley Days 2017 page on Facebook.
The Julian Apple Pie Grand Prix will be held on Saturday, July 29th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. This year's vintage sports car show, parade, and festival is a salute to the sports cars of Great Britain. Cars will be on display on Main Street from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., followed by a parade of these vintage cars that will proceed to Mangini Winery for a public viewing and festival until 5 p.m. The festival will feature live music, plus food, beer, and wine available for purchase. The Julian Apple Pie Grand Prix is organized by the Julian Classic Motoring Society and the Julian Chamber of Commerce.
That's all for this week.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website, or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County. See you around, East County.
Water truck drivers sometimes face dangerous conditions when delivering water in fire zones, for example. But a water tender truck driver in the Ramona area faced an unusual risk when he wound up on a limb last Friday, literally. The driver of the commercial-sized vehicle was on Agrarian Road east of Ramona when his vehicle went off the side of the road and hurtled down 30 feet, rolling over. But the free-fall plunge was stopped by a tree branch that snagged the front of the truck, leaving the bulky vehicle dangling. Rescuers, fearful of breaking the branch and sending the truck plummeting to earth, had to wait on a tow truck to stabilize the wreck before freeing the lucky driver, who fortunately suffered only minor injuries, according to CAL FIRE Captain Robert Ramirez. Reporting for East County Magazine, this is John Fistier.
Welcome to Vines and Wines on the East County Magazine Show, bringing you news to savor about our region's fast-growing winemaking industry. This is Miriam Raftery with Vines and Wines on the East County Magazine radio show. Winners in the Toast of the Coast competition at the San Diego County Fair this year include 13 wines from 6 Ramona wineries here in East County, the Ramona Valley Vineyard Association has announced. The winners were chosen from 775 wines produced by 252 different wineries. Four Ramona wineries won gold medals: Hatfield Creek, Wolf and Rose, Mahogany Mountain, and Ramona Ranch. Others took home silver medals: Castelli Family Vineyards, Hatfield Creek, Highland Valley Vineyards, Ramona Ranch, and Wolf and Rose. Bill Schweitzer, president of the Ramona Valley Vintners Association, says we are proud that our members' wines are recognized as superior in a competitive group of wines from recognized national and international brands. As we continue to grow our region, we expect to see even more, he predicts. You can taste the winners from the Toast of the Coast competition at the San Diego County Fair at Del Mar in the Garden area. The fair runs through the 4th of July.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show. This is Miriam Raftery with KNSJ. In honor of Independence Day and the birth of independent media here today, we have lined up some very special interviews. Have you ever wondered what our founding fathers would have said about the news events that are happening now in America? Well, we decided to ask them. That's right. We've conjured up the spirits of 1776, our founding fathers and some founding mothers who fought for the liberties that we enjoy today. Of course, we couldn't really bring them back to life, but we have brought in actors to read in their own words the views of these revolutionary patriots, the radicals of their day. We asked them questions about the hot issues of our times, and the words they spoke over 200 years ago are as relevant today as they were back when America was born. Plus, in the spirit of bringing you all sides to this story, we have also brought in a leader from the Native American community during colonial times, as well as that ruler against whom the colonists rebelled, King George III. And now let's welcome our guests to KNSJ. Now, could each of you rabble-rousers please start by sharing a favorite quote with our listeners? Let's begin with former President Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of Independence.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Inspiring words. Next, we have Benjamin Franklin, famed statesman, scientist, and newspaper editor. Ambassador Franklin, what's your quote for today?
Rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God.
Thank you, Ambassador Franklin. Next up, Patrick Henry, my ancestor and the former Virginia governor who called the British Stamp Act treason and helped foment the American Revolution.
Give me liberty or give me death!
King George, you had a little different view of this rebellion. Will you please share your reaction?
Once these rebels have felt a smart blow, they will submit.
Never! Never!
George, feel the smart blows themselves.
Your Highness, it didn't quite work out that way. We are also honored to have with us George Washington, the first president of our nation, known as the father of our country, a leader famed for his integrity.
I hold the maxim, no less applicable to public than to private affairs, that honesty is the best policy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Our next guest is Phyllis Wheatley, known as the poet of the Revolution. She once wrote a poem and sent it to General Washington himself. Mrs. Wheatley, can you please share an excerpt?
Proceed, great chief, with virtue on thy side. Thy every action let the goddess guide.
General Washington later invited you to actually meet with him. Can you please read another of your revolutionary verses?
Thick as leaves in autumn's golden rain, such and so many moves the warrior's train.
Now, Mrs. Wheatley also sent poems to British nobility and had her work published in a colonial newspaper. Her accomplishments are even more impressive when you learn that Mrs. Wheatley was a slave at the time, educated by her master, more fortunate than the vast majority of slaves, of course. She later gained fame for her eloquent defense of liberty for all people, but more on that later. Our next guest is John Adams, diplomat and former president. What's your founding vision?
Government is instituted for the common good, for the protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness of the people, and not for profit, honor, or private interest.
Right, not for profit.
All right. Now we will hear from your wife, Abigail Adams. Mrs. Adams, you were a first lady and a champion for women's rights long before it was fashionable.
If we mean to have heroes, statesmen, and philosophers, we should have learned women.
Amen. Indeed, James Madison, another former president, we have quite a few of them here today, co-authored the Federalist Papers that helped to win ratification of the Constitution. President Madison?
Liberty may be endangered by the abuse of liberty, but also by the abuse of power.
Now, some listeners may not know that the American Revolution divided Native American people. Some tribes sided with the colonists and others with the British. Our next guest is Mohawk Indian Chief Thayenanegaeh, also known by his English name, Chief Joseph Brant. He sided with the British during the Revolution and was actually considered one of Britain's finest officers, leading battles against those rebellious colonists. Chief Brant, please explain why you chose to oppose the colonists.
Indeed, it is very hard when we have let the king's subjects have so much of our lands for so little value. The Mohawks have on all occasions shown their zeal and loyalty to the great king, yet they have been very harshly treated by his people.
And finally, Thomas Paine, a corset maker by trade, later a journalist and a pamphleteer who authored Common Sense, or as the British called him, a propagandist. Mr. Paine, what quote would you like to share?
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands now deserves the love and thanks of a man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered.
Thank you, thank you. Now for our first question. How important do you believe it is to have media that is independent, free from control by the government or by powerful corporations? President Jefferson, let's start with you.
Where the press is free and every man able to read, all is safe. Where left to me to decide whether we should have a government without newspapers or newspapers without a government, I should not hesitate a moment to prefer the latter.
Ambassador Franklin, as a former newsman yourself, can you weigh in on the trend toward media censorship of controversial issues?
Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freedom of speech. If all printers were determined not to print anything till they were sure it would offend nobody, there would be very little printed.
President Madison, why is a free press important to you?
To the press alone, checkered as it is with abuses, the world is indebted for all the triumphs which have been obtained by reason and humanity over error and oppression.
Next question. Recently, a whistleblower...
Whistleblower? Do you mean a fife player?
No, a whistleblower is someone who sounds an alarm.
Oh, like Paul Revere, our good friend who warned us that the British were coming.
Something like that. This whistleblower revealed that the government has been spying on Americans and accessing our telephone and internet records.
Phones? Internets? What manner of inventions are these?
Ambassador Franklin, I'll be happy to show you how to tweet and surf the net after our interview. I believe you'll be amazed.
Tweet?
But now the government argues that knowing who we communicate with is necessary to protect us from terrorists. Yet others say this violates our constitutional liberties. Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
They who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety.
Huzzah! Edward Snowden, the whistleblower who leaked the classified documents, proving that our government has been spying on Americans' phone and internet records, has been charged with treason. There is a very vigorous debate going on as to whether he is a hero or a traitor. King George, what's your definition of a traitor?
A traitor, of course, is anyone who does not agree with me.
Now you can see why they called him Mad King George.
Mr. Henry, in a very famous speech, you denounced the Stamp Act and declared that only colonists should have the right to levy taxes, not the king, and you went on to foment rebellion. Some in the crowd even shouted treason. What was your response?
If this be treason, make the most of it.
No new taxes.
Sounds like the original Tea Party movement. Chief Brant, you traveled to Europe and were warmly received at the British court. But you raised some royal eyebrows when you were introduced to King George here. Tell us what you said.
I told the king, I bow to no man, for I am considered a prince among my own people. But I will gladly shake your hand.
Shake hands with no man. I shake hands with no man.
President Madison, in your day, the Barbary pirates were considered terrorists. Now drones, spies in the skies, are being deployed along our borders.
Spies in the skies? Do you mean balloons, such as the French launched in Paris?
Drones, actually, are unmanned flying machines, Mr. President.
Flying machines? Imagine that.
Do you believe changing times warrant more intrusion into our privacy to assure that foreign terrorists are not plotting against us?
If tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. It is a universal truth that the loss of liberty at home is to be charged to the provisions against danger, real or pretended, from abroad.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Henry, what do you have to say about these recent erosions of our constitutional liberties?
Guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect anyone who approaches that jewel.
Huzzah! Huzzah! Huzzah!
President Washington, are you concerned about a chilling effect on free speech if journalists are monitored?
If the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter.
Mrs. Adams, you once urged your husband, John, to remember the ladies when the Constitution was written.
That I did, though he did not listen.
Shame!
As to your extraordinary code of laws, I cannot bit laugh, my saucy bride. We know better than to repeal our masculine systems.
You may both find it of interest to know that a constitutional amendment finally granted women the right to vote.
Excellent. Excellent.
Though it didn't happen until 1920.
Mercy, what took those men so long?
Good question.
My heavens, this subjects us to the despotism of the petticoat.
But even now, in the year 2013, women are still earning only 77 cents for every dollar earned by men. Mrs. Adams, is your advice to your husband still valid today?
Certainly. All men would be tyrants if they could. If particular care and attention is not paid to the ladies, we are determined to foment a rebellion, and we will not hold ourselves bound by any laws in which we have no voice or representation.
Strong words indeed. Mrs. Wheatley, you once sent a poem to Britain's Earl of Dartmouth, both celebrating American independence and making a case for abolition to bring freedom to African Americans. Can you please share some of that verse?
No more, America, in mournful strain of wrongs and grievance, unredressed complain. No longer shalt thou dread the iron chain which wanton tyranny with lawless hand had made, and with it meant enslave the land. Should you, my lord, while you peruse my song, wonder from whence my love of freedom sprung, whence flow these wishes for the common good, by filling hearts alone best understood. I, young in life, my seeming cruel fate was snatched from Africa's fancied happy seat.
Thank you. Times have changed since then. The Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves in the 1860s, and later, African Americans were granted equal rights. Today, we even have a black president.
Glory! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Your efforts were a key part of those changes. In a letter to a well-known minister here in the colonies, you likened slaveholders to the ancient Egyptians who enslaved the Israelites. As one of the early voices in the abolitionist movement, tell us what words you used to spark his conscience.
For in every human breast, God has implanted a principle, which we call love of freedom. It is impatient of oppression and pants for deliverance. And by the leave of our modern Egyptians, I will assert that the same principle lives in us.
Speaking of Israelites fleeing Egypt for a better life elsewhere, immigration is a hot topic again here today, as it has been for many, many years. President Madison, what is your view?
America was indebted to immigration for her settlement and prosperity. That part of America which had encouraged them most had advanced most rapidly in population, agriculture, and the arts.
Some broadcast media today foments bigotry and racism. President Jefferson, do you find that troubling?
Broadcast media? It sounds narrow-minded. Bigotry is the disease of ignorance, of morbid mind. Here in America, we are destined to be a barrier against the returns of ignorance and barbarism.
Thank you. Chief Brandt, The revolution had an unfortunate consequence for Native Americans, who in seeking to protect their lands and cultural heritage were actually called barbarians. When the war was over, the British ceded lands in America not to the tribes who fought alongside them, but to the colonists. The war fueled resentment by colonists against those tribes that sided with the British and led to even worse oppression of some Indian tribes. But now in our time, the Idle No More movement has arisen, standing up for Native American rights. What are your thoughts on this?
Idle No More. If this effort demands respect for our sovereign rights, I rise in support. We are tired out in making complaints and getting no redress.
Most of our guests today have advocated for rebellion and fought in the Revolutionary War. In recent years, however, America has gone to war far beyond our own borders, even starting a preemptive war in the Middle East. What are your views on war and peace, President Jefferson?
Peace and friendship with all mankind is our wisest policy, and I wish we may be permitted to pursue it. I have seen enough of one war never to wish to see another. The spirit of this country is totally adverse to a large military force.
President Adams, what are your thoughts?
Great is the guilt of an unnecessary war.
Mr. Franklin, how about you?
There was never a good war or a bad peace. Wars are not paid for in wartime. The bill comes later.
The bill does come later.
Speaking of bills, I'm sure Tea Party listeners out there would want me to ask you about the national debt. President Jefferson, what are your thoughts on that?
The principle of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding is but swindling futurity on a large scale.
Gun violence is on the rise in America today. As a revolutionary, what is your take on the Second Amendment, President Madison?
Americans have the right and advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms.
King George, what's your reaction to these armed upstarts in the colonies defeating that powerful British military force of yours?
Knavery seems to be so much the striking feature of its inhabitants that it may not, in the end, be an evil that they will become aliens to this kingdom.
So much for diplomacy. My next question is for Ambassador Franklin. A diplomat himself and a man of science known for his many inventions, including, reportedly, flying a kite in a storm to prove the workings of electricity.
Dear me, that was a shocking experience.
Ambassador, technology has seen many advances since your day, including radio and television, instant communications that use electricity.
So the power of lightning has been harnessed at last.
Yes, it has. But now some factions want to defund scientific research and discredit scientists on issues such as climate change, and not the kind you wrote about in Poor Richard's Almanac, I might add.
The rapid progress true science now makes occasions my regretting sometimes that I was born too soon. It is impossible to imagine the height to which may be carried in 1,000 years the power of man over matter. Agriculture may diminish its labor and double its produce. All diseases may, by sure means, be prevented or cured, not even excepting that of old age, and our lives lengthened at pleasure.
Oh, it would be nice to have our lives lengthened.
Mm-hmm. President Jefferson, how important is science in your view?
When I contemplate the immense advances in science and discoveries in the arts which have been made within the period of my life, I look forward with confidence to equal advances by the present generation and have no doubt they will consequently be as much wiser than we have been as we than our fathers were, and they than the burners of witches.
The Supreme Court, in a case called Citizens United, ruled that corporations have the same rights as people and that restrictions on corporate contributions to candidates may not be limited. Mr. Payne, you warned about corporate power in your Rights of Man.
Corporations have a more extensive evil effect than what relates merely to elections. They are sources of endless contentions in places where they exist, and they lessen the common rights of national society.
Thomas Paine speaks the truth.
President Jefferson, the Occupy movement is a protest movement that's arisen over the power of big banks. How seriously do you take such concerns?
I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies.
Now that's a revolutionary thought.
Yeah.
Chief Brandt, in our time, as in the time of the British Empire and colonial days, the rich and powerful sometimes seem to be above the law. You've had some strong words to say on this subject.
In the government you called civilized, the happiness of the people is constantly sacrificed to the splendor of the empire. Hence the origin of your codes of criminal and civil laws. Hence your dungeons and prisons.
Can you tell us how justice has traditionally been meted out in your Native American society?
We have no prisons.
Really?
We have no written laws. And yet judges are as highly revered among us as they are among you, and their decisions are as much regarded. We have among us no exalted villains above the control of our laws. Daring wickedness is here never allowed to triumph over helpless innocence. The estates of widows and orphans are never devoured by enterprising swindlers. We have no robbery under the pretext of law.
Can we imagine how different our world would be if this system were in place today? Now, on another topic, religious freedom and separation of church and state. You founding fathers have some differences of opinion, I understand. Let's start with President Madison.
The purpose of separation of church and state is to keep forever from these shores the ceaseless strife that has soaked the soil of Europe with blood for centuries.
Amen. Amen. Mr. Payne, will you please tell us your opinion?
All national institutions of churches, whether Jewish, Christian, or Turkish, appear to me no other than human inventions, set up to terrify and enslave mankind, and monopolize power and profit.
Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
In the affairs of this world, men are saved not by faith, but by the want of it. But to follow by faith alone is to follow blindly.
Recently, we've seen a trend towards secrecy by our government. How important is it to assure that media can serve as watchdogs to bring forth truth, Mr. Henry?
The liberties of a people never were nor will ever be secure when the transactions of their rulers may be concealed from them.
Yes. Yes.
On a lighter note, let's take some questions about pop culture. Another innovation recently is video games. I am sure our younger listeners will want to hear your views on gaming, Ambassador Franklin.
Games lubricate the body and the mind.
Oh, that sounds like Ben Franklin, doesn't it?
You charmer, you. One constitutional amendment that was passed and later repealed was a prohibition on alcohol. Winemaking has become a growing industry in our region, as it has long been in France, where you spent a great deal of your time, Ambassador. What are your views on imbibing those fruits of the vine?
Wine is constant proof that God loves us and loves to see us happy.
Amen. President Jefferson, you have been a champion of creating a strong public education system. But today, the price of college has risen sharply, though the current administration is striving to increase funds to help students. Can you tell us who you believe should be entitled to an education and why you think that is important?
The most promising genius, whose parents are too poor to give them further education, to be carried at the public expense through the college and university. The object is to bring into action that mass of talents which lies buried in poverty, and thus give activity to a mass of mind which, in proportion to our population, shall be double or treble of what is in most countries.
Hear, hear.
Thank you. Media bias is a growing concern in modern times, since the consolidation of media has put most major media outlets into the hands of a few big corporations. Mrs. Adams, do you believe it is important for people to hear multiple points of view?
I've always felt that a person's intelligence is directly reflected by the number of conflicting points of view he can entertain simultaneously on the same topic.
Thank you. What advice would you give to those who feel that it's just too much trouble to get involved in protecting our democracy, Mrs. Adams?
We have too many high-sounding words and too few actions that correspond with them.
Mr. Payne, do you agree?
The more difficult the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. An army of principles can penetrate where an army of soldiers cannot.
Mr. Henry, what's your advice to the citizens of today?
The battle is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave.
President Adams, what's at stake here? Is there a risk in complacency?
Liberty cannot be preserved without general knowledge among the people. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide.
Perhaps it takes truth and an informed populace for democracy to survive and thrive. President Washington, what are your closing thoughts as we celebrate the birth of independent media here today?
Truth will ultimately prevail. where there is pain to bring it to light.
President Adams, what advice do you have for our listeners and for future generations?
Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives.
Yeah. Well said.
Yes.
Well
said. Yes. Ambassador Franklin, are you concerned about election integrity?
Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote.
President Jefferson, we'll let you have the final word here on this Independence Day celebration with KNSJ.
I thank KNSJ for inviting us here to remind Americans today why we fought for the independence we won in 1776. I hold it that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing and is necessary in the political world as storms in the physical.
Thank you. If people do stand up for those rights enshrined by you founding fathers and mothers, how optimistic are you for our nation's future, President Jefferson?
I like the dreams of the future better than the history of the past.
Thanks to all of you for joining us on this very special 4th of July celebration, and I hope that everyone listening will have a festive and spirited Independence Day.
This is Gene Carpenter with a public service announcement for KNSJ Radio. Investigative reporter Greg Palast, producer of the feature film The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, will headline a benefit event for KNSJ on Friday, June 30th at the First Unitarian Universalist Church in San Diego. His presentation is titled, Saving Democracy, How We Can Prevent the Next Election Theft. Russian hacking of the U.S. has been making headlines worldwide. But are the Russians the only ones who should be worried about stealing elections? According to Palast, his presentation will expose how Donald Trump and the Republican Party have been stealing elections with tactics that include purging voters, voter suppression, and outright election fraud. Palast will speak at 7 p.m. There will also be a VIP reception starting at 5:30 p.m., where you can meet Greg Palast, enjoy food and entertainment, and get an autographed copy of his DVD or book. For more information, you can visit knsj.org or call 619-283-1100 or 626-425-7253.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Liz Alper, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.